To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its sponsors, Christy Doherty and Mia Hansen Aloha, and our very special super subscriber sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you, girls. Hey everybody, Ronnie here. We did an extra episode this week to welcome back the Real Housewives of Potomac. So I'll skip all of our usual opening blah 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 to bring you the show. Enjoy. Hello everybody and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we'd love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills audiobooks, if you're so inclined. Just search for that. And I'm with the gorgeous and talented Ben Mandelkerv, the B-side blog and the banter blender. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ronnie. How's
How
it going?
Doing, baby? How you doing on this fine Wednesday?
I am amped. I am amped to talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because this finale was hilariously petty, and I love a hilariously petty finale. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about how our podcast hit 1 million downloads in March, and I think in good part one of the reasons why is because of all the love we get for our Beverly Hills recaps. So I'm excited to finish out this season with a bang because I know that people are tuning in to listen, and it just gets me excited.
And finale episodes are always very exciting anyway, because Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I think particularly, because people really feel pressure to show up and fight on this show. Because not a whole
fuck
lot
you,
happens.
Fuck you, Ronnie. You know what? Fuck you, Ronnie. You really fucking broke my heart. You know what? I've had enough. I'm leaving.
How could you just treat me like that? I've given you everything, and you've given me nothing! Nothing! Nothing!
How many crystals does a girl have to give before she gets something back? I just wanted a napkin.
Oh, fucking Eden. So, sorry, yeah, totally Eden made a last-minute run for the renewal contract, which I don't think is going to work, but really fun episode. We started off where we left off last week, which is at Lisa Vanderpump's Snapchat filter party, where everybody's got those Snapchat flowers around their head.
Laurel, yeah. Not Laurel. Is Laurel the leaf or is Laurel the ring? The
it's
wreath?
The canyon.
Laureate. The canyon. So Rosé. It's Pandy's Rosé. I do have a question. Does Pandy have friends her own age? This is not even trying to be catty, but I'm really concerned. I feel like all she does is hang out with her mom's old friends, and then occasionally she'll, you know, put out a pasta salad for Sheena.
Shit, if my mom gave me a business and then bought me a house in Beverly Hills, I'd only hang out with her too. I'd be like, whatever you need, Rhonda. Whatever you need.
I just feel like she's forced to hang out with Lisa's friends all the time, and she's like not allowed to like go off and make friends of you know, her own age.
Even
but
her
I love
own,
me some Pandy.
Like, even when she's talking to her own friends, she just seems like, ugh, why do I have to be here, mother? Like she was with all those friends during Vanderpump Rules. She had like a little party, but none of them had seen her house. You know, like obviously not her friends. Poor thing. And she always looks so annoyed. She came up to say hi to somebody in this episode. She's like, hello, ladies. And she kind of did that weird, like, you know, where you're like pulling at your shirt, like to make sure it's down. She just looks so annoyed. She's like, oh, hello, welcome to the party. Did you have some rosé? Yes, Pandy, we know this party's about your rosé.
Pandy, we just want to be let into your life a little bit. But no, we love Pandy. Pandy's great. She can do no wrong, I think. So, yes, Rosé party.
Yes.
I liked how it opened with Lisa Vanderpump walking by some gays and going, "Oh, you guys know each other. That's good." I was like, she's basically like, "I don't have to entertain you with naughty witticisms anymore."
And Eileen and Rinna came in their team spirit way. We're like, "Hello. Oh, hello. We're just so happy to be here. Everything's always so gorgeous." And Rinna's like, "I missed the disco. Hey, bridge. Hey, hanky. Hey, lights. Hey, outdoors. Hey,
Hello,
counting
moon.
outside."
Hello, sky. Hello, window. She basically is the sequel to Goodnight Moon. Good morning, bridge.
And
Good
then,
morning, door.
"Hello, rug. Are you new?" So she they
Hello,
walk
floorboards.
so they walk in, and we're getting the same. This is the Rinna storm descending on the party because you can just hear her Yelp reviewing everything as she comes in. And Dorit hears her getting closer and closer and just looks terrified. I mean, she takes this big swig of her wine and then looks at the camera with her stupid tinfoil hair and just looks like, "Ooh."
And Lady is coming in.
And sure enough, here she comes. She's like, "Gorgeous, gorgeous, hors d'oeuvres, trays, waiters, actors, old people, young people, gay people." So she comes in to say hello, and Vanderpump's telling us, "Well, there's stuff I like about Lisa Rinna. I really do. But there's some things that I don't like about Lisa Rinna." Dun, dun, dun. "Hello, Lisa Vanderpump.
You have to be nice to me because I gave you my feathers, baby. You own them now, baby. You own them."
That was funny, and I like that she called her on that deal.
Yeah.
But because Vanderpump is being nice, I think. Eileen says
I
hi, and
actually
she's
think so
like,
too.
"You know, Lisa Vanderpump, I did try to adopt that dog. I just want you to know that I really did try, but the problem is it has a short snout and it can't fly." And Lisa's like,
Also, I had
"Oh."
some bad diarrhea before I had to sign the papers, so.
They wouldn't give a puppy to a woman with such loose bowels, unfortunately. "Well, thank God I didn't bring Ken then, darling. I would have had to leave him in Hong Kong."
So Eden shows up in a big dress and literally no one reacts. Nothing. And Rin is, meanwhile, I mean, literally they just cut to it and just no one was like, "Oh, hi, Eden." It's just, she just walks over the bridge. Even the swans are swimming away.
Yeah, like a pack of ballerinas. That was like a 10-year-old's ballerina dress. There was one point in the thing with Lisa and Lisa where they kind of joked with each other, and Rinna's like, "Well, you know, I will always misbehave a little," and she's like, "And I will always berate you for it, darling." And then Rinna says, "I like to let her think she has the power. I mean, let's give her that. She doesn't have a whole lot." Like, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic, but you're standing in a mansion on the top of the hill in a party thrown for little tiny horses that she had flown in on private planes.
She may have the
I think she's got plenty.
I also liked Vanderpump's moment with Eileen when Vanderpump's like, one of them's like, "Oh, I gotta go mingle," but then they like have a hug and then they stare at each other for a moment and then Vanderpump's like, "That wasn't weird. That was nice." And Eileen's like, "Yeah, that was good. Yeah, wow."
Because, well, I guess I have sort of a soft spot for Lisa Vanderpump. I mean, we've had our differences, but she has feelings and beliefs and a bridge.
A
I
lot
mean,
of
who has
toilet
a
paper.
bridge?
You're a lot of toilet paper, and it's charming, and it's my favorite brand. And you know, finding little ways to connect. I mean, those bears with the
It's
toilet paper on
important
their
to be
butt.
friends with a woman with toilet paper that has ridges.
I mean, I don't know if you saw Dorito, but she has Cottonelle, and that's just not gonna work.
Dorit has
That
bus station
beast.
toilet paper.
I mean, one ply.
So let's see here. Camille did not get the
Rinna,
memo. She just shows up in green, but she
yeah.
doesn't even care. She doesn't even seem to notice. Yeah, she's just like, I'm.
How sad to be
Oh,
wearing green
yep, that you know
when
everybody's
it's
wearing
a
pink at this
wearing
party for
green this
rosé
party
and
here,
the diamonds,
rose
you know.
diamonds and
So it's
so
wonderful.
wonderful and so upsetting. Hi,
Moi.
moi, moi.
Moi.
Hi.
Camille's open mouth cheek kiss is my favorite running Camille thing in this.
I'm surprised it took us so many years to find it. Like, she's been around a while, and it's only this season that we started doing that joke.
So Dorit, Rinna, and Eileen. Rinna does her typical, "Hello, Dorit. Hello."
Yeah, it was this very
you look
cold.
Wonderful. I love your hair. Ooh, hair.
Now, to the people who hate Lisa Rinna, they probably were going nuts this episode, because if you hate Lisa Rinna, all you see is just a huge amount of fakeness on display. And if you like Lisa Rinna, you just see a huge amount of toleration on display. So it cuts. I don't know how you interpret it, but I imagine the people who hate Rinna were going,
"Well, this was fakeness, but it's hilarious because it's a Dorit, yeah. You know, so you can't hate her for it." She's like, "You look so great." And then she turns to us and she's like, "It looks like a big gold goose took a big gold shit all over her head."
Wow, 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 wow. Dorit's probably like, "Well, I learned from a homeless man that if I wore metal on my head, I will, the government and Lisa Rinna won't be able to get inside."
"I wanted to make sure of all this in case there's a needy old man walking around trying to find change with one of those machines."
So I like that Kyle then walks up to Dorit and looks at the hair and he goes, "This is next level. Like, I don't even know." I'm like, Kyle, you're not doing it right. You're not doing Mikey right.
Yeah. It's like the boring version. She's like, "This is next level. Okay, Kyle, switch.
This is everything.
Let's swipe Kyle out of here, please." So Vanderpump and Erica Girardi, and she's like, "Oh, darling, I love the big pink hair. Everybody would look better with pink hair. What about down there, darling? Is that pink as well?"
Darling. I like when Erica shows up, that Dorit goes, "Wow. Erica's hair, you ain't gonna miss it." I'm like, says the woman who did an ice bucket challenge with melted gold. That was my joke I wrote in, and not remembering that we made a million ice bucket challenge jokes on Monday's Potomac episode.
They all kind of run in after a while. But
she looked like
"Naughty Night Pink, it's a hairless cat. Everybody knows that." And she's like, "I'm the only one who hasn't seen it yet, darling. I don't have a YouTubes." But yeah, Lisa Vanderpump cannot stop making vagina jokes. And Erica's like, "Lisa Vanderpump is obsessed with my pussy. Everybody knows it."
And meanwhile, you see Vanderpump in the corner writing down her next pussy quip. "Darling, when you saw the women's march and you saw those pussies, you say, that's all me out there. Look at all the pussy." Oh, no, that didn't
really land. "Are you upset that I'm only saving the dogs from being eaten and not the pussies, darling?"
"So does Tom have allergies? Is that why you have a hairless pussy?"
Okay.
By the way, we should mention that Kyle did a really good Dorit impersonation. Did you hear that?
No, but she also does a very good Vanderpump impression. What was her Dorit impression?
I didn't write it down, but she just, you know what it was? Kyle was impersonating Dorit, talking about her hair, going, "That's very runway. PK, it's very runway, PK. It's very runway. Hey, put a little puss's runway. There's a puss on the runway."
So Erica greets Dorit, and she's like, "Hello, Dorit. You feeling good about Hong Kong?" Dorit's like, "No, actually, I'm not feeling so good."
I liked when Kim Richards, I don't know who she showed up, who she started talking to, but she just popped up out of nowhere. She's like, "Hey."
It's like, "Hey, it's me, Kyle. Hey, anybody seen the baby? Look, my baby learned how to roll over."
You were looking at pictures of Kingsley.
"Oh, my babe, my grandbaby. Been biting people's hands."
Poor Kim arrived in hot pink. She looked so poor. Like, everybody else had, like, subtle, beautiful, rich pinks. And she's like, cheap pink spandex.
It looked like it was actually out of the Karen Huger collection.
She goes, "My baby rolled over." And Kyle goes, "He's so advanced." So Eden comes over to Rinna and Eileen, who are, you know, teamed up, and they're sitting at the cast table. There's like a special little table for them. separated. It's, oh, Pink, darling, and Erica sitting over there. I mean, it's just like a tiny little pale face peeking out because her hair is pink and her, everything's pink. But Eden joins them, and they're fixing her roses or something. And Rinna tells us, since Hong Kong, I realized Eden didn't back me up. So she's fine and she's nice enough, but no way, baby.
Rinna decided, you know what? I'm just going to destroy Eden tonight because why not? Which was actually kind of mean because, you know, Eden, she just wants to be loved. But Eden's problem is that she never really committed to one person to kiss up to. She sort of did a general kissing up to. So she didn't – when she had the chance to hop over to Vanderpump, she didn't really dig in there, you know? So when Rinna and Eden had their conversation a few episodes ago and Rinna was like, baby, my guard is up, baby. And Eden's like, what? You know, at that point, Eden should have been like, you know, fuck you. I'm Lisa Vanderpump's friend now. But instead, she still tried to have a friendship with Rinna. And now it's all coming to bite.
Well, this fight is just ridiculous. We saw on the way here that Rinna is just ready to go. You know, she's ready to fight with anybody. She has a feeling it's going to be coming from all angles. So she's in there like, oh, it must be so easy to say Lisa Rinna's a bitch. So she's like ready to come in and go. And this fight is possibly the stupidest out of all of them because she goes, she's like, you know, when Dorit was saying, I had a Xanax party, whatever. Xanax at a party. You didn't stick up for me. And Eden's like, yes, I did. And she goes, well, not loudly enough.
Yeah, not loudly enough. I actually kind of felt bad for Eden because she's like, I stood up for you. Though. Like, I did what I had to do.
And she did. Like, we saw it. And she's like, well, you could have done it more loudly. And she goes, well, I just thought that, you know, it's not my fight. So you say what you're going to say. She says what she's going to say. And Rinna goes, oh, is that history from your family? What? And then Eden's like,
well, she tried to sort of smooth it into being an empathetic soul at that moment and didn't quite work.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, to shut down? Yeah, I shut down. I was like, do, shut down. If you want to turn me on again, you're just going to have to wait a few minutes for the Apple logo to finish loading.
Bling. No, you know, with Eden also, the other thing is she doesn't know when to pick her moments because in a way, Rinna's, you know, what Rinna was saying was that at dinner, essentially, and on the boat, you should have jumped on and been yelling with me, which does kind of lend credence to Dorit's mean girl accusations, right? Because that is the mean girl trick. Like, you're supposed to have my back, and if I'm yelling at someone, you have to yell at them too, which is kind of mean girlish, true. But basically, Dorit's moment was that she should have started yelling and along with Rinna in the at that dinner at that restaurant up on top of that skyscraper, and she didn't. That would have been a moment when she could have like gotten into the mix, and so she doesn't do it then, and then she realizes she doesn't do it then, and basically that's sort of what Rinna's telling her, and now so then Eden gets all miscalibrated, which happens like every few episodes, and which leads to of course her explosion later on.
Yeah.
Sorry, did that make sense? I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah, no, it totally made sense.
Did that make sense? Sorry.
Yeah, everyone. It made sense. To me, it's just Rinna's just ready to fight, and she figures Eden. I think Rinna's been led to believe that this whole Dorit saying she's does Xanax is way bigger than it really is, because it wasn't that huge of a thing. And I think the producers were like, she's been telling people you're a drug addict, so you better figure, you know. And so she's like
ready to...
She's just ready to go to war, you know, and Eden's just trying to keep friends.
And the other thing is, I also felt bad for Eden because she was like walking by the table and Rinna and Eileen were like, oh, Eden, come here, come here. And you know, at that moment, Eden was so excited. Like, they finally want me to sit with them. I finally get to sit at the cool girls table.
And Eileen always doing the teammate thing where she's like, I'm on Lisa Rinna's side, so I'll rephrase it in a different way. So she says, well, when you're in a big group of women like this and you don't speak up, it gets worse. And she goes, well, I didn't want to be perceived as a troublemaker. And then Rinna goes, oh, who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? What other people think of you is none of your business, baby. Speak your truth. I'm like, aren't you mad that other people were saying you're doing Xanax? So what are you talking about?
It's true.
Rinna's arguments make zero sense. They never have, really.
They never.
And I just,
but I will say,
it's just fucking hilarious to me. I'm like, you don't even see
that you just, you're yelling at someone for not defending you when someone else was talking behind your back, and now you're saying that it's none of your business what people say behind
your
back.
I think that maybe she doesn't like, I think what she doesn't like is, she doesn't like when facts are wrong, or when accusations are wrong, but she doesn't mind if someone says she's a bitch or she's whatever. And you know what? I have to say, with our experience with her, I actually think I might believe her, because I think of all the Bravo, like of all the housewives we've met, she's the only one that didn't pull us to the side and say like, so how do I get people to like me? You know, have you noticed that?
She hasn't. Yeah. She's already got like so many people who like her.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I just kind of just go off this show. But I do like that when we've met her, we can make fun of her right to her face. And we can tell her all this, and she'll be like, well, okay, like, agree to disagree.
Or when like Jill Zarin, like, for instance, you know?
Yeah, Jill Zarin, yeah.
It's like, how do people like me? How are we gonna turn this around, guys?
Yeah, yeah. Jill Zarin. Ugh. So Eden's like, Rinna has this evil, awkward energy tonight. Something's off. I'm not happy, and I'm not comfortable. Oh, my God. You know, Eden's in her 40s, but she is a millennial in her mind. And when a millennial says they're not comfortable, you better watch the fuck out. They'll sue your ass.
To be fair, she only had one ass cheek on the couch because she wasn't allowed to have both on. Eden, slow down there. You can't have both ass cheeks on right now. You're only a friend of, so that's one ass cheek on the couch.
So Erica comes over to join them, and Erica's just in that mood, like, well, here I am at a party, eating some chicken. Tell me when you need me to yell at somebody.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Am I right, ladies? A tale of two cities.
Like, Erica goes, I love your hair. To me, cotton candy is a little more appetizing than bird shit.
That's not funny.
You don't know how bird shit keeps me awake at night.
My husband, my son has to deal with bird shit. You don't know what I go through at night.
So Lisa,
my
Vanderpump.
Son went to Rome and got shat on by starlings. That was a Planet Earth 2 reference, everyone.
I met my husband during an early bird special and he shit. You don't know what I go through at night.
You don't know what these birds go through at night that causes them to shit so much.
So somewhere along the lines, she Yokohama ran off and changed into a male outfit and came back out and was like,
I wrote your song, Lisa Vanderpump. It's called Diamond Rose. She's like, oh, it's totally different. It's a totally different gay.
It's like a jazz guitar song. I believe it's called Diamonds and Hope.
Rosé is all feeling like Max, all ignored in the pen.
Was it Diamonds and Rosé? I thought it was Diamonds and Hope. Maybe not.
I don't know. I really don't know. Diamonds and Hope makes more sense, but it definitely, I like, was that not Lisa doesn't even fall for it. She's like, oh, he says he wrote me a song. Very nice. Well, he probably says that to everybody and changes the words. Let's be honest.
So that guy starts like playing some jazz guitar. He looked actually a lot like Leah Black's psychic dude, you know.
Ew.
Remember
I
him?
He looks like Kevin. I think he looks just like Kevin. He's like an old Asian guy. It's like Kevin took off his Yoko wig and his sunglasses for a minute.
I didn't realize he was Asian.
He's like,
oy, 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 oy. I love diamonds and hope.
He's like, I've heard that song before, darling. Whatever.
So then Kim and Dorit start to talk. And, you know, Dorit is very well aware that Kim's arch enemy is Rinna. So suddenly, Dorit is just this sad, crestfallen lady. And because Kim's like, how are you doing? And Dorit's like, well, I don't know. I've been better. Just so much happened in Hong Kong. And, oh, just Rinna. She just comes at you so hard.
I experienced the wrath of the women when I was so far from my family.
It's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Because Jagger really would have stepped in. It's like, how could they have done this to me when I was so far from my family?
Don't brag about how Hong Kong is like home for you and then say you're far from your family. Well, I couldn't even speak to the giant Buddha.
But, I kept saying pecan, ignored me. So she also knows that the issue, the big fight with Kim and Rinna was about husband. It was when Kim was like, oh, why don't we talk about your husband? And she's like, how dare you talk about my husband? And threw a glass and went after her neck or whatever. And so, of course, she's like, amongst the accusations was, do you trust your husband? Do you trust your husband? And then you see a little tiny flicker of a light go off in Kim's eye.
Mm-hmm. And that's when, it's around then, I believe, maybe I'm jumping ahead slightly, where Dorit says, in classic Dorit fashion, I can't help but question if she's projecting whatever she has, whatever issue she has, onto other people. I'm like, see, there you do it again. Dorit, you're so silly. You don't, because if you were to be pressed on that, you'd be, I never said anything about your issues with your husband. I'm like, you suggest it and imply it left and right with all this shit. Pantygate, Xanax, this thing.
Yeah,
it's classic to read. I don't know whether to like love it or to be roll my eyes at it.
I love it because, to be technical, what she said was, she's protracting her own issues onto everyone else.
Protracting. She needs to find out the angle, the degree of the angle. She's projecting. Protracting her.
Lisa Rinna's obsessed with pie. You heard it here first. Protractor.
I can't help but wonder if Harry Hellman's obsession with pie has to do with Lisa Rinna's constant obsession with protracting their relationship. Is that why she's always asking for a compass?
And then she does another total Dorit thing, because Kim goes, yeah, she does, Lisa Rinna's. She's so mean and vicious. And then she's like, sorry, baby, hustle. And then Dorit goes, one might call it unbalanced. And Kim's like, yeah. So, you know, she's making it's like, is she a drug addict or is she mentally unstable? It's just so Dorit, you know.
Are you guys comedy nerds just like we are? So you should rejoice if that's the case. Rejoice, fellow comedy nerds.
Rejoice!
Rejoice, darling! Mm-hmm. Because guess what? CISO, we're here to talk about CISO. Nothing is funnier than Dorit's golden hair, but CISO comes pretty close because it has the comedy that you crave from your favorite comedians. You can watch Paul F. Tompkins, Dan Harmon, Wyatt Cenac, Jonah Ray, the UCB Four, which is Amy Poehler, Matt Besser, Ian Roberts, and Matt Walsh, in lots of hilarious knee-slapping CISO original series, y'all.
Yeah, it's not every day you find three grown men, one woman, and a random guest playing a fantasy role-playing game like Dungeons & Dragons or Pathfinder on television. Even more special, it's Dan Harmon, who created Community and Rick and Morty. It's also half animated, half live action, and only available on CISO.
That's Harmon Quest, what Ronnie's talking about. The point is this. We know everyone who listens to Crappens loves comedy. I mean, we're literally sitting here recapping a rosé party with one woman who has gold shit on her head and Eden Sassoon, okay? Mm-hmm. So we know everyone likes a good laugh. So just go to CISO and you get more good laughs. Even
for
gooder
cheap
laughs.
Too, you guys. I mean, yeah, it's original comedy content. It's a whole channel full of content for just $3.99 a month. We love CISO.
CISO is the new home for all your favorite comedy. There's Britcoms, stand-up specials, bingeable classics, and more. It's all on demand. It's all ad-free. Darling!
I personally have become re-obsessed with Kids in the Hall. I loved it growing up, and it is amazing seeing it again. That's the first thing that got me addicted to the Comedy Channel back in the day when cable came out.
Yeah.
Because I'm old.
Yeah. No, it's I told a story a few weeks ago about how, you know, I found the very first episode of SNL that I ever watched as a child, as a youngster, impressionable young, broken bird. And it's there on CISO. It's kind of crazy. You can actually watch the content anywhere, anytime, using iOS, Android, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Windows, Xbox One. And you know what? $3.99 per month. That's basically a latte.
Less.
And I know we all are drinking lattes.
It's way less than a latte, okay? I paid $5.05 for mine today.
Oh, you could have had 1.5 months of CISO.
No shit. I didn't even laugh during my latte. Like, I didn't even laugh while I was drinking my 2-pump Neue Smoke. So, whatever. Fuck
my
off, Starbucks.
My latte wasn't even half animated.
With CISO, literally? With CISO, you literally get unlimited access to CISO original series, next day late night, hilarious stand-up specials, and binge-worthy classics, including 42 seasons of Saturday Night Live and the entire Monty Python catalog, the IT Crowd, and much more.
All right, so just go to SEESO.com right now. Sign up for 1 month free with promo code CRAPPINS. At checkout.
It's the best offer CISO has going right now. 1 month for free of laughing your ass off comedy at CISO just by using your promo code CRAPPINS.
Oh, you pretty little puss. Let's go to CISO.com, but SEESO.com. Leave out the PK. That's just my husband.
promo code CRAPPINS. Lock the golden goose did on me head.
A PK golden goose crappins on my head, and now I'm using it to get cheap CISO.
CISO.com promo code crappins. The ladies are back at the lady table and they're asking about Kim's baby, I guess, and Eric is like, did it come out looking okay? Because those babies can come out looking rough. When I had my baby, there was a baby there with one of those squishy cone head things. I like that Eric is just a total sociopath, you know? Like,
hey, little dog with a coat on your neck. The snip off your nuts or what?
I love a cone. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about your cone.
And Ren is like, yeah, my first kid had that too because my vagina was so small.
And even Eden was like, ooh.
Eden's like, I'm a fan of vagina. And that's even too much for me.
That's one less crystal you'll be receiving today, Rinna.
So then we get some fun housewives time where Vanderpump tries to make Rinna eat hors d'oeuvres, which she doesn't.
She forces canapes on them. Yes.
And then she's like, come see the ponies, darling. And Vanderpump goes, Erica. Oh, they're making fun of the fact that they've glued like rhinestones onto the hooves of the horses.
Glitter, yeah.
And she goes, yes, darling, I told you, Erica, they need a glam squad. Maybe you can loan them yours. And Erica's like, I told you, my glam squad doesn't do animals. Like, she takes everything so seriously. And then her folk goes, yes, they do.
And by the way, it goes to show you really where the glam squad sits in her life. Because the finale party, everyone shows up from the season, like kids, caterers, you know, party planners, everyone shows up. And there is not a single, like, not even Mikey got to come along as Erica's date.
I feel like Mikey should get to come because I know he's an employee, but he's still, you know,
he's
on the show a lot.
Storyline.
Yeah, he should get to come. Everybody else gets to bring their pay for gays.
Yeah, but not Mikey.
Poor Mikey.
Or Mikey.
And it was a quieter party for it. He would have been like, donkeys, yes, everything, bitch!
So Kim, there's also Erica's on the swing and Lisa's pushing her, Vanderpump, and she's like, I hope you're wearing your underwear on the swing! Erica's like, yeah. I just took a big swig.
Yeah,
a little swig. Sorry, my throat got all raspy after doing that very aggressive Vanderpump impersonation on the swing, so I had to refuel. So Kim, Dorit, Kyle, and Vanderpump are all talking about Rinna. And, you know, of course, like, oh, not shocked about Rinna, you know, this is what she is. She can be so aggressive, all that stuff.
And Kim's about like, her mean she streak. Doesn't stop. I'm going to lie very nice talking about husband, suggesting that Dorit's husband is infidelity.
And Vanderpump's like, because Rinna is talking in another group. Is this the part where she's really close?
No. So, no, this is the part where Rinna's still near the lady table. And Kim is just going off on Rinna. And then from across the way, Rinna goes, hi, Kim. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
Kim, how are you? And Kim goes, good. How are you? It was like truly one of the fakest moments in Housewives history.
Yeah, and Vanderpump's like, well, you should probably tell her that we're talking about it right now, darling. She goes, I'm talking about you right now.
And Rena's like, oh.
She's like, why? Because I'm hearing stuff. And Carol's like, I need an escape room. I need an escape room. And Erica goes, I dare you to go there, Rena. I dare you. And Rena goes, what, so I can get the shit beat out of me? So then Rena, of course, oh, we forgot to say this part, but Erica is talking to some gay dudes, as Erica does, and Rena walks up to talk to her, and Erica goes, do you know him? And Rena goes, of course I do. I know everyone. I'm a staple.
A gaple. So Rena at first, you know, she goes back to the lady table and like, oh, they're talking about me. And I love Eileen. She's basically channeling Kristen Wiig as Sue, the woman who loves surprise parties. Because Eileen's like, oh, I got to figure it out. I hate myself for this. I have to clear the air. I have to. Kyle.
I must. Oh, Lisa, Rena, let's stand up and go to the bathroom. Kyle, come here. Oh, there, I did it. What am I doing? I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. Okay, we need to talk about this. Eileen, get a fucking life. Get a storyline. All Eileen does is follow everybody else's storylines around and start fights.
Wow. So Vanderpump and Derek go over to Rena and Eileen, and it starts off on things immediately get hostile, and Rena's like, great, I'm glad you're here. What do you need to say to me, Derek? What do you need to say? Like, uh-oh, here we go.
We cut to the guys talking. PK is still pink and sweaty. And he's up talking to Maurizio, and he's talking way too close. I think he thinks they're in like some close-up shot or something. Mm-hmm. He's like face to face with Maurizio, and he's like, they over there speaking laws about me, wife. Whoa, they ganged up on her, and Renner's going, fuck you in the face. Oh god, PK. And Maury's like, ha ha ha, agency, yeah. Bro.
Hey, bro, where's your agency cop that I gave you in Mexico, bro?
You know who you should fuck in the face? Agency. We love it. We'll do whatever you need.
You know who you should fuck in the face? Hilton and Highland, am I right? Stick with the agency, okay?
Okay, so then back to the ladies. Let's see. Like, Dorit approaches.
Dorit saying, yeah.
She's like, Rena, it was very mean-spirited and hurtful what you did to me in Honga Konga.
And Rena just goes, I'm sorry you feel that way. I was like, ooh. She just gets all cold bitch face. I do love how Rena can pivot like that. Hi.
How are you?
I'm sorry you feel that way.
And Dorit goes, well, I don't know where it came from, Lisa, Rena. And Rena goes, oh, I can tell you. I can tell you that it's when you were saying I had a Xanax problem. And she's like, yeah. Who did you understand that from?
She's like, Eden! Eden's like, hello, yes? Oh, wait, you're throwing me under the bus? What?
Eden goes, no.
I gave you one of my ass cheeks.
No. So Dorit has a good point, because they flash back to the Hong Kong boat scene or whatever, and then we come back, and Dorit goes, how could Eden have been the first one if you'd had lunch with her and told me on a boat? Like, she had some kind of timeline thing that actually worked out. And Rena was like, listen, baby, if I had a problem with Xanax, I couldn't carry on with my life. I'd be like, She's limping all over the place. And Vanderpump goes, well, I think you're a little paranoid, darling. You were the one who put Xanax out there. She's like, I was joking. And she's like, well, you were joking. And she was reacting to your joke. And then Erica is sitting at the table alone with Kim. And she goes, excuse me, Kim. I gotta go do some stuff. Kim's like, I'll come. It's like, oh, poor Kim.
It was
Kim.
A very
no
much like a
you,
Bruce.
Kim.
It was like Bruce Wayne excusing himself from a party because he has to go to go like fight some crime.
See that giant pink vagina flashing up in the sky? It's my cue to go. I'm gonna become Erica Girardi. Am I Erica Girardi now?
I just liked Eden having her protest that no one cared about. Well, actually, I'm sorry. It wasn't a protest. It was what she was saying in the interview. She's like, I'm not a troublemaker. I come from my truth. Oh, poor Eden.
A small city in Arizona.
Yeah. By the way, don't come on the show if you're not going to be a troublemaker, by the way.
Yeah.
I just come from my truth.
Now they're like cornering Rinna and saying how she has a pattern of going after people. And Lisa Vanderpump is like, yes, you do go after people just like you went after me. And then everyone's like,
Oh, shut up. And I like how Rinna and Eileen both openly boo. Like, they just boo Vanderpump when she says stuff like that. And then Eileen says belligerent shit like every time.
Yeah, Eileen was actually pretty funny during this.
It was very funny because they go boo and Eileen's like, oh God. It's like, shut up. It's not about you or something. It's like the only time she breaks and says belligerent shit is when they're booing Vanderpump. It's so funny. She goes, There you go.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm the bad guy, baby. Okay. I got it, baby.
And then Kim's in there all of a sudden in her hot pink dress. And she's like, well, yeah, Rinna's gone after me. She's gone after Lisa Vanderpump. She's gone after Yolanda. She's gone after Brandy.
And she's like, oh, it's so easy to say I'm so mean and aggressive and blah, 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 whatever.
I'm like, well, I mean, it's all true. But it's still fun, you know? I'm like, you're basically, again, saying her resume for the show. It's like, this is why she keeps her job.
Yeah, exactly, by the way. Exactly.
And then Rinna turns on Vanderpump, and she's like, oh, this must feel real good for you, doesn't it? To be at your house hosting a party, singing me all night.
Sing it, baby.
And then Vanderpump is like, no. But basically, we wind up again with Dorit and Rinna coming face to face, and Dorit starts losing it. She's being like, we don't enjoy attacking people. We don't, PK and I.
Yeah, we're not like you. And Rinna's like, but you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to tell the truth.
And then they have a non-issue moment, like a non-issue off, where they each one proclaims who didn't have an issue with the other one. Dorit's like, I never said I had an issue with you, Rinna. And he's like, well, baby, I never had an issue with you, baby.
She goes, well, you say one thing and then say another thing. And she's like, you do. You're all over the place.
It's like the you are fight.
Lisa, if I can smell your breath, you're too close.
That's PK lingering on your shoulder.
Oh, darling.
I was wondering why Lisa Rinna smelled like pickles.
I was wondering where that tartar sauce smell came from.
And when she said, I can feel the heat from her breath, she's like, I could even feel the Xanax on my cheek. It's like, oh, God, Dorit. Quit while you're ahead, okay, Dorit?
So then Dorit's like, so then Rinna, she steps back. Rinna does the thing. She goes, wow, which she clearly got from Eileen. I want Rinna and Eileen to do that together. Wow. So then Rinna's like, if you had an issue with me, baby, why didn't you call me? Why didn't you call me? And Dorit's like, this is a real nutter over here. It's a real nutter.
She goes, oh, yeah, you are. What's a nutter?
Pretty little nutter.
So
this
she's like,
nutter's very runway.
So Rinna knows she's not winning this, so she does the other Rinna thing. When Rinna's in a corner, she goes, oh, I guess it's all my fault. Look what you did to Erica for 4 months. Now, when we were asking Rinna about this, Rinna's way of remembering it, and she's like, yeah, that part where she got in my face, well, thank God, then suddenly it turned to Erica all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's true. Well, okay, so at the risk of once again being called a hopeless Rinna defender, I do actually think it was a deflection, but I don't think it was an irrelevant deflection, because the whole point is that Dorit, God bless her, she has this habit of, you know, making these little insinuations behind people's backs and steering the conversation. I mean, she'd be great on Big Brother. This is what or Survivor. She plants these little ideas about people over and over and over again, and then does it lightly enough where she can say, I never said that. I don't remember it. It was a joke, whatever. But it's little insinuations. And so basically Rinna's saying, look, you're coming at me about the Xanax thing, just like you were for the past 4 months to Erica. So I don't. So it was totally a deflection. Yeah,
you're
but
right.
It was
what you're saying
relevant.
About Dorit, but where I split off is that Rena does this all the time too. Rena starts something, goes crazy, and then she turns it into another fight. And she did it in the Hong Kong fight too. Remember? Because that was Erica yelling at Eileen, and then she's like, "I need to change the subject. What about Xanax, baby?"
Well, I do think that, yeah, I think when she feels like, it's not that I think that when she feels cornered, I feel like she just says like, you know what? Fine. If you're going to come for me, here, you're doing coke.
Because she could have been, it could have been a thing. It turns back into Vaggate. Which I was, you know, I moaned, but of course we have to go back there because it's a finale. And then we'll go back there for 3 weeks during the reunion talking about Erica's vag. But they start in on that again, and then Erica's in, and she's like,
"Now let me tell you, let me ask you a question, Dorit. If something happened like that between us, and it was you on the other side, would it be easy to warm up to me?"
And she's like, "Yes, because I would realize that it was taking a." And she's like, "That's not authentic to have that response to just warm up.
You can't read social cues or what, huh, Dorit? Can't you read social cues?"
Well, what was funny is right before that, you know, Erica and Dorit start to get into it again. And one of Erica's problems, she says to Dorit, is like, "You've called me cold." I'm like, but actually the way she said it, I just did the hour version. But the way she really said it was, "You've called me cold." I'm like, so you're essentially taking offense to the fact that you've been called cold while actually addressing Dorit very coldly.
After talking about how cold you are in your testimonial. Yeah.
But about the best then is Dorit, who says, it's like, "I never called you heartless. I said you were frigid and stoic and cold."
And Erica starts laughing. She's like, "Ha ha,
so much better, Dorit."
Yeah. And Vanderpump's like, "Well, I've said that you're cold, you know. I mean, look, when she brought you those knickers, she just wanted to have a joke." And she's like, "That was laughing at me, huh?"
But I do think Erica is right there. And it's funny because I've recently been accused, or I guess we both have, of being like all the way up Erica's ass and just being like total gaze for Erica, which is not the case. I just happen to think in this argument, in this whole situation, I think that Erica's right. I think I actually get what she's saying, which is like, yeah, she wanted to have a laugh. She wanted to put it to bed, but still her way of doing it was to make me like, it was doing something to embarrass me in front of all the ladies, you know? So like, I still was the brunt of it. Even if she had good intentions, it embarrassed me. But of course she didn't say that it embarrassed her until at the end of all this, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. Well, here's my ish, right? I mean, I'm just sick of hearing it. It's like, it was already Hong Kong, a million apologies. And Dorit's like, "I apologized." And then Erica goes,
"Wait, I don't remember."
That was when I was like, okay, Erica, now I'm not on your side.
Come on, in Hong Kong. Dorit's like, "In Honga Konga." I said, "I'm so sorry. I swear on my mother's life."
And then they show the clip of her just apologizing 20 times. And then they cut to Kyle. And Kyle's like, "Oh my God, the amnesia is contagious."
I literally could not believe it when Erica said, "I don't remember." I was like, "Are you crazy, bitch? Are you? Oh my God! Now I have to go on Team Dorit."
And now they're all kind of booing Erica and the Vanderpump Dorit and Kyle side. And Vanderpump goes,
"I was there, and she said it across me, so I heard it." And Erica goes, "Don't yell." And she goes, "Actually, I'm defending my friend, and you know, I can yell if I want."
And I was like,
she says it very your way.
I was like, that's like the bitchiest, because Lisa gets bitchy, but she doesn't get, when they start fighting, usually she's like, "I'm a victim." She usually doesn't actually snark back to them like that.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I was kind of proud of her because
she knew she could.
Fuck?
You know why she knew she could? Because the moment Erica said, "I don't remember the apology," and everyone's like, "It happened," Erica started to unravel. That's when Erica, she had lost some significant ground in this fight. And then that's when she started going for the typical low-hanging fruit of a fight, which is, "Don't yell. Why are you yelling? You don't know who I am." Although it became a you don't know who I am sort of battle, because then Dorit was like, "You don't know who I am." And then Eric was like, "Oh, is this what we're doing now? You don't know who I am, or you don't know who I am."
And I'm also like, okay, Erica's lost her way. Erica tells us, she goes, "Well, I'm allowed to have amnesia. Everyone else has.
Now I can't have it.
And then, but then Dorit starts to lose ground because then she makes some comment about Erica where she goes, well, we've all seen enough as well. Implying like we've seen your vagina. It's like, aha, Dorit, aha. Well, again, it has not been put to bed.
It all comes back to Vag, Erica's Vag every time. So meanwhile, PK is just circling them like, you know when they tried to do that spinoff Jaws, but it was a whale? I think it was called Orca. He's like just Orca, like slowly going around people, waiting for his chance.
I'm going to shock everyone. I was not totally anti-PK in this moment.
I was, totally. Well, A, I'll tell you why, because Erica was,
well, I mean, he's the worst, but Erica was actually the one who dragged him into it. Even though he was lingering, he did not jump in.
You're right.
She pulled him in.
But he was walking around them in circles to jump in.
Yeah, but you know what, though? His wife was there. I think that's actually okay. His wife is in a fight. He's gonna stay there to keep an eye on it. Erica pulls him in and starts up with him, which is it's within her right, but it just means that PK was not trying to do the Peter thing of like, hey, I want to get involved. She pulled him in, and he's been sitting here listening to this woman fight with his wife, and I actually think, you know, I didn't really agree necessarily with what he said, but I didn't think it was a heinous moment of trying to.
Well, it didn't start off that way because she said, Can I ask you a question, PK? Did you say that I tried to seduce you? And he goes, she goes, that's all the truth. And he's like, you asked me a question, let me answer. She's like, well, don't get upset.
Which
is her favorite thing to do.
Why are you yelling? Why are you mad?
Cheap move in a fight, by the way. When people do that.
That's an Erica thing. And he's like, well, I see you ganging up on my wife. And she's like,
oh, don't get mad, PK.
And then is when he goes too far. I mean, my thing is, I don't like seeing the men fight with the women. I just don't. It makes me uncomfortable. And it's a long time rule. You don't fight with women. And especially husbands do not get involved in you know, as Nene would say, the bitch's business. And I just don't like it. I think it's classless. And he said, you know, you always say you're not deliberately cold. You're not deliberately cold. You're inherently cold. Which I'm like, okay, well, you've been saving that one up. Because, you know, PK has like a little tiny notebook, like a stand-up comic in his front pocket that he always can write, you know, terrible put-downs in.
I have to say, it's a great time to contrast this with, you know, maybe Candy and Portia, which is like, you have a sex dungeon, you know, Todd cheats on you, like, you want to go lesbian for me, da 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 da. And this one's like, you're cold. You're not occasionally cold. You're always cold. It's like,
and then Erica's response is,
the shit I'm cold. If you don't like me, get in line, boys.
So PK is like, it was all for fun. And she's like,
it wasn't fun for me. It wasn't fun for me. It wasn't fun for me.
You don't even know me. You weren't being nice to me. And you don't even know me. Which is what your wife was just saying. And I made fun of her for saying that. But I'll say it now.
Yeah. And then he's like, when is it over, Erica? She's like,
well, she's always got something mean to say. And I've been nice to her.
And he goes, you believe that? Then I'm afraid you're delusional, honey. She's like,
please don't call me honey. We're not in that space right now.
And we're not having tea, if you know what I mean. Little honey joke. Let's keep it light here. Let's keep it light, everyone.
Honey's don't call another me honey, way that people describe their vaginas, and I don't appreciate that, because...
And he's like, well, honey, I call everyone honey. I'm trying very hard not to call you honey right now.
She's like, well, I know you can't help yourself, but try hard, Pico.
And he's like, this is what I'm talking about. This is the coldness. And then Eileen's like, she's not cold. It's my opinion. Well, I don't care. And that's my opinion of this woman.
And then Eileen starts to channel a little bit of Ray from New York City, but a more polite one. She's like, you're rude. And
I can't imagine Vincent treating a woman like that. So inherently rude and classless. How's that for inherently?
Yeah, nice inherent zing. But so then PK, so finally, like, Erica's like, well, were you telling people that I was trying to seduce you? He's like, and PK actually, I think, was very upfront. I think I thought his answer was good. He's like, I mean, Erica, I might have said it's a throwaway joke, but I wasn't actually saying it. Of course not. Of course not. No, it's ridiculous. And she's like, well, that's all I needed.
That's all I need to hear.
And then she just drops it. It was so weird.
But you know what I loved is then Dorit cannot cannot help herself. She goes, and by the way, the only time it ever came up was when Eileen kept bringing it up. Eileen's like...
Which is true. I mean, Dorit brought it up a lot, too. Dorit brought it up to everybody.
Dorit brought it up.
But so did fucking Eileen. I mean, Eileen, that is classic Eileen, to bring Eileen up someone up else's fight to everybody over and over and over and over.
Eileen brought it up once where she said, by the way, I don't, you know, you... I think she was more hurt by it than you may realize. And I think that was, you know, she probably did, should not have said it in the sense of like, because of all the shit that's happened, but it was not the biggest crime against humanity.
She did not say it once. Like, I love you she so much. It, no, she said it so many times. She'd
she
be
said
like,
it at the
well,
bench.
I think we need to talk about this. No, I think, well, you know that fight about Erica's vagina. Oh, well, now remember we're talking about this. And, oh, the underwear might have hurt it.
I really
I mean,
only remember
talked about
saying
it a zillion times.
But I feel like I only, I mean, maybe I'm getting some Doritis here, but I seem to only remember Eileen really going out of her way to bring it up to Dorit that
well,
time.
She only made Dorit come to Malibu to talk on a windy bench or whatever one time, but she brought it up every episode. I mean, for like 10 episodes, it's always Eileen kind of stirring that shit, you know?
I don't know. I'd have to go back. I don't know. I feel like
please
I...
don't, because it's so stupid. I mean, we'll just go on a memory call. Let's just be even, Stevens.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's fine. So, but either way, I like then PK said something to Eileen. I forget what it was. And Eileen just goes, bye. Bye. Go. You can go.
Well, he got mad at him because she's like, nuh-uh. And Rena's like, yeah, that's wrong. And he's like, is this what you two do? Just you two sitting over there deciding what's right and what's wrong? Which is truly what they do. I mean, that's another thing with PK.
It is.
He's an asshole, but he did have them pegged because that is what they
do. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I actually did not. Well, so it's a weird situation because I did not really think he was the worst. We've seen him be so obnoxious and so terrible. And this moment, I didn't really think he was. I think
he also got beat
defending
down.
His wife. And what'd you
he
say?
Also got flat beat down in this conversation. Like nobody was having him. He couldn't make anything sound intelligent. He was red and sweating and shaking, you know, because it was his first big house.
I don't know.
Fight.
I really don't think he got beat. I actually don't think he got beat down. I think he was saying it. I think he was speaking clearly. And you know, I think, Erica, you know, was coming after him in the beginning. And then he basically was like, don't come after me. I'm going to defend my wife. And she was like, well, did you say these things? He's like, no, of course not. She's like, okay, fine.
But then Eileen's utter disgust with him. I just feel like he walked off like, I'll shake.
Well, yeah, Eileen did take him down at the
but
end.
But let's not
piece,
forget,
at that part.
Everybody, that PK was the one who started all of this.
All of this. Yes. All. So
he's also the one that said maybe Rena has trouble because she's on drugs. Like, he's pretty much started all of this shit himself.
Right. You're right.
So I guess he did deserve to have his housewives moment.
But so then while they're all having their fussiness, then Erica goes over to Dorit. This was a surprising moment because Erica's like, do you realize how embarrassing that was for me? Do you realize, like, girl to girl, like, this is embarrassing? And she's like, well, if I'd known, I never would have done it. I just, Erica, you have to tell me these things.
And Erica's like, I want to be friends. Let's just stop picking at each other. Which I also liked because she made it about both of them. Like, let's both stop.
I did like it. It was actually a nice moment. I thought it was a nice moment on Dorit's end as well. And it was a nice moment on Erica. And it's kind of like, well, you know, Erica, this was actually the side of you that Dorit has been wanting to see. And I think if you had expressed it in this honest way, I don't think it was up to Erica to have to go out of her way to say to Dorit, like, that was fucked up. But when the opportunity presented itself, like at one of those meals, that she should have done, she instead of saying, I'm over it, it's fine, I'm over it, she should have had this moment here of saying, it was actually really embarrassing for me. Do you understand how it was embarrassing? And then it would have been done.
Yeah. Well, it should have been done anyway. I mean, it's been done so many damn times. But they're doing it again. They go through the dance again. And this time she's like, I really mean it, Erica. And they kind of hug or whatever. So then...
It'll all be destroyed by the reunion, by the way.
Yeah.
Any forward progress will be killed by Andy Cohen.
Of course. He'll be like, hey, let's fight about a vagina again, guys. And then we'll all groan. And so now Vanderpump is over with PK and the husbands. Ken is there, and she's like, well, it's difficult, because if I say anything in defense of Dorit, I get yelled at by Rinna, you know? I mean, all I can say is I know it was for a laugh. And PK goes, well, I should have said, you think I'm interested in shagging you? Ugh. And Ken goes, no, you shouldn't have said that, but you could have invited me to change places with you that day when you had that nice view.
It's like, here it comes again, the sequel. It's like the end of Little Shop of Horrors when you think the plant's dead and a little plant comes up at the end. You're like, no!
Vanderpump's laughing, but she's like, yeah, no! And he goes, it's just a joke, darling. She goes, they don't take it that way. And he goes, boy, he's a defeated man, darling. He's a defeated man. What's a beaver joke? You know, to help a poor defeated man, darling.
To be fair, Ken's version, Ken, his joke, you know, I mean, it's still a sort of smarmy, but it felt more like a joke as opposed to PK and Dorit, which just felt icky.
Yeah, PK's just being an asshole. Like, why would I want to fuck you, sweet cheeks?
So all's well that ends well, but nothing really did end well for everyone, because the Rinna crew gathers again at the lady table, and Eden has something to say. So she's like, I need to have my moment. So she goes up and cozies up next to Rinna and goes, well, you know, Rinna, you're never present for me. And like whatever monologue she had planned, Rinna just turns to her and was like, oh, please. The moment we went to Vanderpump, my guard went up. I'm done with you.
Yeah, she's like, I told you. It's like, I told you that. The minute you went to her, my guard went up. And she goes, oh, that's rude. She stands up and starts screaming in her little girl ballerina dress. She's like, I've given you all my heart and energy, you bitch, and you had to say that? And it goes, well, look who finally found her words.
It actually was pretty savage of Rinna. I actually thought it was pretty mean, like really, really mean. But at the same time, I think there's like a sense with Eden where everyone's like, let's just kick her while she's down. Why not?
I've given you everything, everything. It is not okay for you to treat me the way you do.
And Kim is across the yard sitting down talking to people. And she stands and starts like standing on her tippy toes like she's trying to see a parade pass. So like, what's happening over there? Someone hitting Rinna's.
I've given you so much of my time, my energy, my fucking heart, you bitch. I tried to heal you. That was when Eden lost me then.
I took you on a walk on my journey, you bitch!
And Rinna's like, I never asked you to, baby. And she goes, oh, you didn't? Like with Kim Richards? And she goes, okay, well, that one time I did. But then, you know, after that, I didn't ask again.
And I just like when Rinna goes, wow, you are really upset. I love when people do that. It's that patronizing moment in a fight. Like, don't make me feel self-conscious while I'm trying to have a rant.
That was coming. I mean, Eden hasn't yelled, and it's like the last 5 minutes, and she's like, bye, you bitch!
And then
the whole
Vanderpump
party
is
staring at them because she's screeching in the middle of this party, and Hanky, they just show Hanky waiting at the bridge, which is hilarious. Yes.
Lisa Vanderpump is like watching her broken bird alarm is going off, but she's still not sure. Is she broken or just unstable? I can't tell.
And she runs off and storms over the bridge, and Vanderpump follows her, and she's like, darling, you were supposed to mention Guile.
And then Eden's now full on, you know, she's like, why didn't Rinna tell me she was done with me? Because I would have chosen you any day.
Well, it's all going to plan. She likes me more than Rinna. Yippee!
Don't let Hanky hit you on the way out.
Don't let the quacker snap your cankle on the way out, darling.
That was so fucking funny. And she leaves. And Erica comes out. And she's like,
hey, listen, I gotta go. But I just want to tell you, please, take care of yourself.
And Vanderpump's like, yes, you're lovely. You don't need to be loved by everyone. And Erica goes, look at me. I'm cold and frigid. Like, way to get over it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love how she tells us in the interview, as you mentioned, she's like, well, I'm cold. You don't like it? Get in line. You can't act like you own it and then get so mad at people who call you cold.
Yeah. And then the first second she gets a chance, she's like, okay, goodbye. And that was pretty much the end.
Yeah, I mean, the updates at the end were really nothing. There was no, we learned nothing from them. So now we just have the reunions to get through. They should be interesting.
Although we do get Kyle's storyline for next season. She's getting her house redone by Faye.
Oh.
Or she's getting it redone, but you know it's going to be by Faye.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be Faye. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was pretty much it. Overall, pretty fun season. And we will have a month of reunions left.
Yeah, a lot of we have a lot of reunions on Bravo over the next 3 weeks. A lot.
Welcome to reunion fall or spring season, darling.
Reunions are kind of tricky for us, I feel like. I feel like they're hard because there's not a narrative flow to them. It's just like, and then they said this, and then they said that. But it should be fun. There should be some good shit that comes out of all these reunions.
I look forward to seeing how they're going to spin a vagina fight out of this again.
So now that we're done with Beverly Hills, why don't we go over to our little listener spotlight? You want to do some listener spotlight?
Sure, Ben.
Spotlight. So this week's listener spotlight is Jess Dang. Jess is great because she's a board gamer, much like I am, and she will often tweet at me things like, I wish you were on this side of the country because we could play board games together. And I always say, at least in my mind, I know. So here's what Jess says.
Hi, Ronnie and Ben. My name is Jess, and I live in the suburbs of Boston with my husband and my 7-month-old baby. I am an avid Watch What Crappens listener, but a newer listener. But I've been addicted for over a year now and listen to every single episode. I own a pet sitting business, and so I'm in my car a lot, and listening to you guys helps the time go by and helps the time in my car go by a lot easier since I get to laugh the whole time I'm in the car. I discovered Watch What Crappens, because my husband was just addicted to Reddit and on there all the time, and I could not understand what the appeal was or what he was doing on there. And so he told me to go on Reddit and just search for something that interests me and read about it. So I went on the Bravo Real Housewives threads, and they kept mentioning Watch What Crappens. And at first I thought they were just making fun of Andy Cohen and Watch What Happens. And then I figured out that it was a podcast. So I checked you guys out.
Love you, Reddit.
And have been listening ever since then, and I have not really been on Reddit again, because who needs Reddit when I can just listen to you guys instead. I pretty much watch everything on Bravo, including the scripted shows. So listening to you guys really makes me feel good, because it's almost like I have someone to discuss the shows with, even though it's a one-sided discussion. But I just love being able to watch it and then listen to you guys. The other thing that I love about you guys is that Ben is really into board games. My husband will listen to the podcast as well if it's on when he's around, and he always gets so excited when Ben mentions board games in the bonus episode or on the podcast. My husband and I own over 50 board games, and we're just avid board gamers, and so that was really fun to hear that Ben was into that too. Anyway, I think my 2 minutes is up, but keep up the good work, and I love you guys, and thanks for doing the listener spotlight.
Oh, that's awesome. Love that, Jess. I used to be a dog walker, and that's how I really got into listening to talk radio and stuff like that too. I was a dog walker in Long Beach when I was 20 years old, like 21 years old, and I would drag these dogs around in a van and listen to talk radio all day long.
So Jess is like the perfect union of our interests. Talk radio and board games.
Yep.
Speaking of board games, I would love to play one right now, but I won't be because I'm here alone. So everyone,
little if solitaire you want, card game being.
if you want to contribute, or I should say, if you want to be to be on the Crappin Spotlight feature, which we do most Wednesdays, go to patreon.com/watchforcrappins. And if you donate at the Crappin Spotlight or Listener Spotlight level, you can do it. You can have your 2 minutes on the podcast. So cool listening to everyone and hearing how everyone found this podcast, etc. We love hearing from you guys. And even if you don't do anything with Patreon, we're just happy that you're here to listen and join the Crappins community. So everyone, thanks so much for another wonderful Wednesday episode. I don't know why I'm thanking everyone for I'll just thank everyone for everything. Thanks everyone for the wonderful weather. Did great work, everyone.
Yeah, you're doing a nice job with that, guys.
Yeah, good job. Good job with this April day. You did a great April so far. Thanks for listening. We love you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow for some Real Housewives of New York City premiere. Yes.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.